Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Really, really looking forward to 5:30, my conversation with Greg Coz. I have not talked to Greg in a long time, but about 15 years ago, he put out a great documentary about a Neil Diamond tribute act called Lightning and Thunder. And they were from Milwaukee, and I lived in Milwaukee. I used to interview them every once in a while on my show. They were kind of a novelty act, but a big deal. A lot of people knew them. Well, Greg did a documentary on them. It's a very tragic story in many ways as well. But it took 15 years, and a guy by the name of Craig Brewer, who's a really good Hollywood director, picked up the story and has made it into a feature film starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. It's going to open on Christmas Day. But Greg, who made the original documentary, is going to share the story of Lightning and Thunder coming up. There's a really cool, for you guys who are rock fans out there, especially Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder fans, there's an amazing Eddie Vedder connection to this story, and Greg will explain at least part of that. We don't want to spoil too much, but that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'll have audio cut of the day as well. David Strom back with us tonight as we take you into the weekend. Associate editor with HotAir.com. He's up in Minneapolis where they're just handing out billions and billions of dollars in Little Mogadishu up there. Right, David? How are you?
I'm doing great. And I actually want to put in a plug for Milwaukee. I actually visited it a couple years ago and I was shocked. It's actually a beautiful town now.
It really is. I haven't been back for a little bit. My wife and daughter were there. My wife's a native. She grew up in Whitefish Bay. But yeah, it's pretty. I've always felt like it's a lot smaller, manageable version of Chicago with less crime. You know, you can find your way around, less crime, less traffic, all those things. So I had a good time up there for sure. But let's talk about some things. You know, one thing I was confused about, I want to start with a story that you wrote about Bondi Beach, because I played a little audio this week and someone was criticizing ABC. And that confused me because I'm like, wait a second. Is our news in Australia? But no, it's the actual ABC is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I should have recognized that. It's kind of like the BBC in Great Britain. But you have someone from ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, who's the global affairs editor, that has actually said that the attack on Sunday at Bondi Beach had nothing to do with religion.
Yeah, I mean, what? Yes, no, it is the perfect example of the Norm Macdonald effect, where, the deep worry is that, you know, if Muslims do something awful, like, you know, nuke an American city, all the elite come out and say, you know, well, I'm deeply worried about the Islamophobia that this is going to cause. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd. You know, it's Islamists who are shooting at Jews. And, you know, it was a Muslim who went and has risked his life, although we've since learned that several other people, including a Jew, were shot trying to save people's lives. And the entire Arab world apparently got angry at this guy, a hero, for trying to save Jewish lives. And yet the elite comes along. You know, I mean, she's one of the top people at the ABC, and she just insists that this has nothing to do with religion. It's just extremism.
Yeah. So they had an Islamic State flag in their car. They attended a radical mosque. The targets were Jews lighting candles, celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. What else do you need at this point?
Well, and, you know, this is actually part of a worldwide, you know, globalize the Intifada effort that's going on right now. I mean, in Europe, you're getting attacks on Christmas markets. There have been, you know, several close calls where they've arrested people in Poland and Germany. They are canceling events in Europe right now.
They canceled New Year's Eve in Paris, the celebrations, didn't they?
Yes, well, they canceled part of it,
okay.
An open-air concert. They're still going to have some fireworks, but there's not going to be a big gathering. And, you know, it's obvious that, I mean, not just obvious, they're acting on it, that they're aware that there is this wave of terrorism that is coming. It's already begun. And yet everybody is insisting that it has nothing to do with Islam. You know, it's a suicidal empathy.
It's crazy. It really is. David Strom from HotAir.com is with us. But let's talk about what's happening up there in Minnesota, because, you know, we're getting it trickling down here in St. Louis. I always say this because the news cycle is so busy. There's so much going on. A lot of these stories don't get enough attention. This is certainly one that should get a lot of attention, because now we're finding out that the number of dollars that were wasted in fraud connected with Minnesota's welfare system is maybe in excess of $10 billion.
That's all we know about, and that's only going back to 2018, so which is not coincidentally when Tim Walz was elected. And so, yeah, I mean, we're talking about and that number, $10 billion, that's half of all the Medicare money that we spend is going going out to fraud. One half of all the Medicaid reimbursements in the state are fraudulent, according to the United States Attorney. I mean, this is not, you know, it's not the Republican Party that's putting this out. This is part of a years-long investigation. And the U.S. Attorney says, I mean, it has reached the point where it's obvious that the system was designed to do this. There's fraud tourism going on. People are being attracted from other states. And I think that if you did similar investigations in blue states,
you
would
find
a
lot more.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about massive amounts of money here.
So is Tim Walz even reacting to this, or is he still blaming other people?
Well, I mean, most of his reactions are blaming other people. I mean, you know, in fact, we had the, you know, the perfect example of how Democrats think happened yesterday, because yesterday we had the two press conferences on fraud in the state. The first one was, I think it was yesterday, the U.S. attorney announcing the scale of the fraud just in Medicare or Medicaid. And then we also had our attorney general do a press release and a press conference on a fraud case that he had, and that second one had to do with settling a lawsuit against one of our local hardware stores, where he claimed that they, you know, they recovered $5 million
Right. Now, is there something to that? You're talking about Menards, right? We actually have Menards here in St. Louis. I used to do live remotes from Menards when I was in Milwaukee, but they have some down here, at least one that I know of on Manchester Road here in West St. Louis County. So what did that have to do with, and was there something to that? They were basically saying that during the COVID era, they did this 11% rebate program, but they misrepresented that.
Well, I mean, that you've seen the commercials, you know, save big money at Menards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the contention is that they didn't make it clear in their commercials. I mean, if you go in, you know, they hand you a little thing that says, you know, here's your 11% rebate thing. You have to send it. It's like every other rebate.
Right, right.
The claim is that, well, that's deceptive because it's not a, you know, you have to ask for the money back. I shop at Menards and I never send in the rebate.
Well, this is what I love. This is so relatable to me, Strom, you have no idea. You say, I occasionally shop at Menards, but I absolutely never use the rebate because I'm lazy. I'm raising my hand right with you there. Exactly.
But, I mean, you know it's a rebate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, when you go into the store and they have a thing that says $1 rebate when you buy your toilet cleaner or something like that. And you go, oh, I'll buy that. And then you never send in the rebate.
Of course
Were you lied to?
No.
I mean, it's a rebate.
That's right. That's right.
But that's where our attorney, you know, we have been ripped off to the tune of $10 billion. And he's putting out a press release about how he, by the way, you know, he's announcing a fine, which means that he's raising our prices. When we go to Menards, he's making Menards pay money to the state.
Yeah.
Spend
more money at Menards. Yeah. That's what I say at Menards because my daughter, when she was little, she used to sing that jingle and she used to say Menards instead of Menards.
Yeah.
David, you mentioned this term fraud tourism. I want to circle back on that because that's been used in connection with Minnesota. And, you know, in connection with all this that you're just describing, that's what the U.S. attorney said, that we've developed a fraud tourism industry. People coming to our state purely to exploit and defraud its programs to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And circling back on your earlier point, you can't tell me this isn't happening elsewhere.
Well, it is happening elsewhere. And, you know, the fact that, you know, criminals know this. I mean, not just criminals. I mean, anybody who's on welfare knows if you go to, you know, certain states, you're going to get more money and you can travel from state to state to state and collect, you know, all sorts of benefits and, you know, double and triple. This happens, as the U.S. attorney says. You know, there's a tourism industry going on. Are you telling me that the people who run these programs don't know that? Of course they know that.
Yeah, they know it. They know it for sure.
And then now think on this and rattle it around in your head for a little while. Tim Walz, who was on top, you know, who helped run this fraud program that's cost tens of billions of dollars, probably by the time that it's all the money shakes out, was picked to be the vice president of the the United States by the Democratic Party.
They can't make
that
up.
They knew.
Right.
Yeah. They knew. I mean, you're either telling me that the, you know, the White House itself and the entire Democratic Party spent zero time looking into the guy. Because we in Minnesota have been talking about this fraud and the fraud cases have been going on. They chose him because of this.
That is really stunning when you think about it. It really is. Oh, my gosh. All right. A couple of things I don't know that you've written about, but I noticed this last night. It's getting a little bit of ink. This was Erica Kirk in Phoenix, and she said something about the vice president that was interesting.
We are building the red wall, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire. That's going to be very important to us. We're going to ensure that President Trump has Congress for all 4 years. We are going to get my husband's friend, J.D. Vance, elected for 48 in the most resounding way possible.
I don't know if Lil Marco liked that comment, but I wonder if there's going to be a Vance Kirk ticket in 2028. That was quite something going out there right and saying we're going to start campaigning for the vice president right away.
Well, it's clear that J.D. Vance has cleared the field for himself. Yes. I mean, Marco, you know, has already said that if Vance is in, he's not.
He's deferred.
And, you know, although I'll tell you, I mean, I supported Marco in 2016. I was a big fan of him then.
I did too.
And if he runs for president, whatever year, after J.D. Vance, I'm going to support him. Although I'm still a huge fan of Ron DeSantis. I mean, we just have such exceptional people at the top in our party. And I'll tell you, one of the few things that I'm still critical of, you know, a lot of the Trump people from in the primary season is how, you know, the character assassinations right. against you know, Ron DeSantis, who's been the best governor in the country. But, you know, you look at these people. I mean, J.D. Vance is amazing. And
our
you know,
senator here, Eric Schmidt, is really impressing yeah. a lot of people. And he's someone I think that is on the national radar as well. Now, David, you've been around politics a long time. So let me just ask you this, because I don't know that you wrote about this on Hot Air, but what do you make of the Susie Wiles situation this week? The White House chief of staff does some interviews with Chris Whipple from Vanity Fair. There's like 11 different points. It's a big, long article. She says it's a hit piece. The White House isn't happy with it. But she sat down with this reporter and she says things that maybe the administration might not like. What did you make of all that?
Well, sort of two things. I mean, the obvious thing is that Susie should have been... you know, a bit more, you know, she sort of kept some of her feelings a little close to the vest. I mean, I'll tell you, I've had private conversations, you know, and the problem was is that these were not private conversations. But when we're just sort of shooting off about the pluses and minuses of various people, we say things that mm-hmm. out of context sound not so great, even of people we love. And it's obvious that there are a lot of people in the White House who are very forgiving of her because she's very good at her job. Second of all, it wasn't, I mean, Susie was the focus of all of this and sat down. But, Vanity Fair actually had the run of the White House to a certain extent. That may be the deeper problem here.
Yeah, they did a big photo shoot, right? A lot of people yep. were pictured. So this was not, you know, something that the White House administration and the president did not know about. I don't think it was that devastating, but boy, you listen to the CNN on that, you'd think that this is the worst thing that ever happened for Trump, this interview that she did with Vanity Fair. I'm just kind of confused as to why she did it with Vanity Fair. That's where I go back. Yeah. And then the other thing is, David, I didn't know this until I read the piece. You just mentioned DeSantis. I didn't know that I knew that she had worked with DeSantis, but I didn't know that basically they had a bad ending. It sounds like they had a falling out at the end and he kind of threw her under the bus.
Yeah. I don't know all the details of what happened. And this is where, you know, there is an element of politics that's kind of like, you know, late high school or our time in college where you've got cliques and, you know, it's,
There's no doubt that exists. I see it here in Missouri. I know exactly what you're saying with that. Listen, you have a great Christmas. Try to stay warm in Minneapolis if it's even possible. Try not to waste more of our taxpayer dollars up there. And Happy New Year. And we'll talk in a few weeks, David Strom. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Right. Have a good one.
Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
All right, Greg Coase is coming up. He's a movie director. He made a great film 14, 15 years ago, a documentary called Song Sung Blue. That is now being turned into a major motion picture starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, who has been nominated for a Golden Globe. And Greg will explain the story of Lightning and Thunder. They're a tribute act, or were a tribute act in Milwaukee for Neil Diamond and Claire Sardina, who Kate Hudson plays. She did Patsy Cline's songs, but it's a heartwarming story. It's an inspirational story. It's a very sad, tragic story, but we'll have Greg update us here in just a few minutes, and the movie, the feature film, gets released on Christmas Day. I just want to circle back a little bit here so people understand exactly what happened, we think, in this Brown University thing. I left here last night, so we had word and indication 24 hours ago that things were happening, right? They were bearing down on this person. But what we knew from earlier in the week is there was the video that was very limited of the alleged shooter who was kind of wandering around. He had a mask. He looked rather portly. They said he was 5'8". They couldn't figure it out, though, right? But then they released the photo of somebody where you could see his face a little bit more, and it was a person of interest. They thought that that person could help them get the information, might know something about the actual shooter, right?
Yes.
So that actually did happen. And in fact, that person was very, very helpful. Let me play a little soundbite here because he helped solve it.
So he provided the Reddit tip initially, anonymously. And then when we put the photo out and put the call out that we needed to talk to this person, he then turned up to a Providence police officer and was fully forthcoming. And so it's sort of an amazing sequence of events. And but really turned out to be critical to our investigation.
Okay, now let me explain this to you, ladies and gentlemen. The Reddit post that guy just referred to, right? That's the mayor of Providence, is the homeless dude that's living in the basement of a building on Brown University. He sleeps in the basement. He had actually seen the suspect in the basement of the building he camps out in, and he followed them. And he posts on Reddit right after this happens. Right after this happens. We don't have an arrest in this. We don't have an arrest, period, because the guy's dead, right? We're looking for him for 6 days. It's all this intense police work. But the day that it happened, the homeless dude goes on Reddit, and he writes this. I'm being dead serious. The police need to look into a gray Nissan with Florida plates, possibly a rental. That was the car he was driving. It was parked in front of the little shack behind the Rhode Island Historical Society on Cook Street. I know this because he used his key fob to open the car, approached it, and then something prompted him to back away. When he backed away, he relocked the car. I found that odd, so when he circled back, I approached the car, and that is when I saw the Florida plates. He was parked in the section between the gate of the RIHS, that's the Historical Society, in the corner of Cook and St. George. That's the tip that they used to get to this guy. Because then what happened was, is they had the license plate. They could see the license plate. And the license plate readers that
they
have.
That's the key.
Yes. Remember I told you I got pulled over in Webster Groves over the summer? It was because there was a warrant out for my wife. It wasn't anything serious, but it was from the license plate reader. Yep. And I pulled over. There's a warrant out. I think I'm going to get,
you're going to the Who's Cow.
Right. That's what I thought. But these license plate readers really do help in crimes like this. So once, this is the other thing that's fascinating, just in case you're not keeping up with this. There was a separate murder at MIT of a professor. But at first, that can't be connected. Although it is.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, I don't know who screwed up here. Brown University really screwed up, for sure.
Yeah.
They have 800 cameras, but they don't have a camera that caught this. They gave very conflicting information. Now, look, I'd like to support the feds and everyone for doing good police work here. I think Paul Morrow, who was on a couple of times this week, would tell you, these investigations take time. But it seems like at every turn, they were being incompetent. And the only reason they solved the whole damn thing is because a guy told them what was happening who had already spread this to the whole world on Reddit anonymously.
And you can imagine how many tips they get, and they're probably thinking, oh geez, somebody on Reddit, do we even follow this up? And it's the key to the whole thing.
But should we also maybe find out eventually why there's a dude who is sleeping
in
a
basement
at Brown University?
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. One of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This is not a sad song. A sad song.
It's a guy by the name of Mike Sardina.
Song to sing when you're.
And he was known as Lightning in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He had an act with his wife called Lightning and Thunder.
Song, yes, it's a glad song.
And they were a. She sang Patsy Cline standards, but Mike, known as Lightning, did Neil Diamond songs.
One. Sing it, children.
And there was an amazing documentary about Lightning and Thunder that was made and released in 2011. And Greg Coase is the director. And that documentary is now being turned into a feature film starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. It opens on Christmas Day. Greg Coase, the director of the original documentary, which is amazing, with us this afternoon. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about you?
Fantastic. I'm so excited for you. And I just have to kind of tell you the way this went down. I'm sitting around, I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm watching football and, you know, half paying attention to the commercials. And I see this Neil Diamond thing come out. I'm like, oh, there's a Neil Diamond biopic coming out. So I then, you know, Google and I watch the trailer, come to find out, no. This is the story of Lightning and Thunder from Milwaukee that Greg Kaws made this great documentary of 14 years ago. And you, not that you haven't lived out your dream so far, this kind of puts you into a different category with that dream, doesn't it?
You know, it definitely puts Lightning and Thunder in a different category for sure. You know, this was always their dream, was to be recognized by millions of people. And fortunately, this remake now, the Hollywood version of the documentary is going to do that. So I am just so thrilled for them and the crew that spent all their time and sweat and working on the documentary. It's a very rewarding, fun time for sure.
So how did you originally come about this story? I remember when I'm in Milwaukee, I mean, I think it was unfair to call them a novelty act, but they were very well known. And Summerfest is a huge, huge, you know, music festival up there. I know that that becomes an important part of your film, but you're doing other stuff and you're doing pretty successful stuff with NFL films, et cetera. So how do you get into this project with the documentary originally?
Really, just in the Cliff Notes version, I was working at NFL Films, where I worked for 10 years as a young man making films. And one of those films I made was for Harley-Davidson, a documentary for their 90th or 95th anniversary. And during that filming, we heard the sounds of Neil Diamond coming across the state fairgrounds in Milwaukee. And I thought, you know, holy cow, Neil Diamond, we have to film him as part of the film. And our crews converged on this stage. And standing on that stage, it was a bar. Actually, it was a bar that was turned into a stage by Lightning. And it wasn't Neil Diamond. It was Lightning. And we filmed him. And then a couple of years later, the crew contacted me and on the East Coast where I live and said, hey, you won't believe it. This group that you loved, Lightning and Thunder, and filmed, they've experienced some difficulties in their life that are, you can't even fathom what happened to them. And I learned, and I wanted to help them. So I thought, you know what? I can make a documentary about them, and maybe that will help them, you know, get their word out of who they are and what they're doing and their skill and their love for Neil Diamond's music and entertaining people.
But you discover quickly, Greg, that helping them was not the right path to take in order to make a documentary, right?
Well, that's true. You know, I set out to help them, right? So on my first visit, I literally was helping them. I was lifting gear, you know, buying them dinner, driving them to a gig in Chicago, and I was a roadie slash groupie, and I really wasn't wearing the filmmaker hat. And that's I got home, reviewed the footage, told my wife all about it, and she said, you know, all these things you're telling me there sound amazing, and really powerful and emotional, but I don't see them. You were too busy lifting amps and driving minivans. And I'm like, you're right. I should have been filming more. And so I recognized early on that, you know, my ability to capture emotion and make goosebumps with my filmmaking was how I was going to help them, hopefully.
I love what you talk about when you refer to goosebumps, because as someone who is a fan of entertainment, I've reviewed films for decades, and I love those goosebump moments. And Greg Kaws, you've had so many of these. Now, one thing that happens, and the challenges are amazing with the documentary, I find this rather humorous. I think you might, looking back at it, but you get the film together, you're looking for an editor. You get an editor who's a very important person in putting a movie together, especially a documentary. And the first editor doesn't like Mike Sardina, who's Lightning, right? He doesn't think he's a likable character and doesn't want to edit the film.
Yeah, you know, he did. He worked on it for about, it was hard to find someone. And finally, I found someone to help out because I didn't have a lot of money. And it was a risk. You know, someone's going to have to really be into wanting to tell this story. And they set out to start cutting, and about 4 weeks in, they called me and said, I just can't keep working on this for two reasons. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, one, I'm really not excited about this guy, Mike. I don't think I like him. And I'm like, well, that's fair, you know, and a lot, you know, that's fine. And what's the other reason? He goes, well, you didn't get Neil Diamond's approval to use his music, and there's like 13, 14 songs in here.
Right,
and
right.
This is silly to keep editing without that permission. So I said, thank you very much, and went on Craigslist and found another editor.
On Craigslist. You got him on Craigslist.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, so yeah. let me fast forward a little bit, because there's so much to your story leading up to, you know, what's happening on Christmas Day with the feature film. And I've shared this with my audience here a couple of times in a couple of days here leading up to our interview, so some of them might be familiar with it. But there's this moment on stage in Milwaukee at Summerfest, this huge music festival. My wife and daughter got to go back up there this past summer because my wife is a Whitefish Bay native. Unfortunately, I haven't been there in a long time. But Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam invite Lightning and Thunder on stage, and they do a song together, and it's really, really super cool. But not to spoil too much of the story, but when you have to get the music rights for the documentary, Eddie Vedder becomes a very important part of that story, doesn't he?
He does. You know, when I was, we'd worked really hard as independent filmmakers to get permission to use the music, and we had all of our requests in, and they were just taking a really long time to get through the machine. You know, there are a lot of people putting in requests in, especially for Neil's music and others that the publisher handles. And so that we were assured that going into its world premiere at the Slam Dance Film Festival in Park City that year in 2008, that we were fine to screen it. And then lo and behold, about a day or two before the world premiere, I got a cease and desist from the publisher saying, you know, we have not had a chance to review your request yet, so you can't screen it, you know, legally. And so I was in a bind. So I reached out to a phone number in my phone, and I just labeled it EV for Eddie Vedder. And I gave it a call as a rock and roll Hail Mary, hoping that he might be able to get the film in front of Neil Diamond. And of course, I only had that number. I didn't know if it was Eddie or not. I had it through doing some research when I was looking for the footage of that performance you mentioned, and thought it could be, but didn't know for sure. And then I just gave it a shot.
Well, and then Eddie even admits he's going to give it a shot, but he can't guarantee anything. And lo and behold, you get another phone call, don't you?
That's true. You know, Eddie, I did get a hold of Eddie, and he said, man, Greg, I'll do my best, man, but there's no, it's not a lot of time you're giving me. I'll try.
Yeah.
And so I said, thanks. And so then I prepared the film with no Neil Diamond music, just silence, because you could still feel the passion of Lightning and Thunder, because I didn't want to break any rules. I was going to do the right thing.
Right, right.
And so I had two masters, one with the music, one without. And we were at a little get-together at a dirtbag little sticky ski bum bar with the crew and family and Thunder. And the bartender came up to me and said, Greg Coase? I said, yes. And he goes, you have a call behind the bar on line two. And I was puzzled, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night in this snowy little town. And I answer the phone and I say, hello. And this voice says, Greg Coase? And I said, yes. And he goes, this is Neil Diamond.
Oh, my.
And I just started bawling.
Oh, my. Yeah,
and
right.
Said, I've just watched your film that Eddie made me aware of, and I love, love, love this love story, and I'm proud to have my music involved, and I'm proud of our film. And, so Eddie came through, and we all kind of cried and celebrated as we walked across the street for the world premiere that night. And then my phone rang again. And this time it said EV on the phone. And I said, hello. And the voice said, Greg. And it was Eddie. And I said, Eddie. He goes, man, I just found out Neil watched the film and he loved it. And I said, I know. And he goes, how do you know? And I said, because he just called me.
That's
goes,
amazing.
No effing way.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, yeah, way. So anyway, yeah, it was a fun memory.
I love that.
For sure.
It is unbelievable. I'm getting goosebumps just listening to you tell the story. Now, I don't want to spoil the ending of your documentary, because I rewatched it earlier this week, and I had forgotten about the way that it had ended, Greg. I really had.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, do they keep to that moment from your documentary in the feature film or not?
You know, the feature film tracks very nicely and with the documentary, and Craig's done a beautiful job writing the script, and I don't want to give anything away.
That's fair.
But people are checking the documentary out now because they can't believe that the things in the film actually happened.
And well, so, that's right. And that's what I think. And that's a great answer to that question. Now, the movie, you can watch it for free on YouTube. That's disappointing to me, only because I feel like this should be a movie on Netflix or somewhere else. Is there a chance that maybe you get a distribution deal, a new one with the documentary in the aftermath of this film, or is that not, I mean, people can watch the film. You want people to see the film, but is there a chance of that at all?
You know what? I'm not thinking about that. You know, the mission's accomplished. When Craig reached out to make a remake the film, and now the attention and the love and support that the studio and Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson and Craig Brewer and all the crew, everyone's giving. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled. And I put it on YouTube about 3 weeks ago, just for free, just because that was the intention of the whole project, was to help them. And so, you know, I don't know what
word I
can use.
That's great. No, I think it's amazing. And I've seen with my friends in Milwaukee and my media contacts there, Hugh Jackman was there a couple of weeks ago, just doing all kinds of interviews, getting Milwaukee excited. Now, I haven't seen the film, but I'll say this. I have a pretty good eye. And when I see the trailer, I think that Claire, and she is performed here by Kate Hudson. Boy, Kate looks like she nails Claire Sardina.
She does. She's amazing. She just takes all of her skills and brings them to the party and creates a thunder or interprets thunder beautifully, as does Hugh. Hugh does as well. I know there's lots. I mean, everyone's thrilled that Kate's got a Golden Globe nom for her performance and all, but you know, Hugh is amazing, and he's a great lightning, and just from my experiences, limited experiences, just an amazing human being. He's really, really a masterclass in kindness. So,
well, I can't wait for people to see the movie. Movies don't open on Christmas Day unless they're really, really good. That's my experience. And Greg, honestly, congratulations. Your story could be a film and a documentary in and of itself. It really can. And I'm just so thrilled that this is, you know, playing out the way that you had hoped for all those years ago. It's just awesome. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm thrilled that that people are going to experience Lightning and Thunder's story. You know, it's an ordinary story, and we all have stories, right, Mark?
Yep.
So
yep.
It's everyone's got a story, and so they just happen to have theirs documented and now retold, and it's a beautiful thing.
Greg,
I'm super excited for everyone to experience it.
Have a great Christmas. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. You too.
Sing it, children. Songs of blue, every girl. This is not a sad song, a sad song.
It's a guy by the name of Mike Sardina.
Song to sing when you.
He was known as Lightning in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He had an act with his wife called Lightning and Thunder.
Song, yes, it's a glad song.
And they were a, she sang Patsy Cline standards, but Mike, known as Lightning, did Neil Diamond songs.
Sing it, children.
And there was an amazing documentary about Lightning and Thunder that was made and released in 2011. And Greg Coase is the director. And that documentary is now being turned into a feature film starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. It opens on Christmas Day. Greg Coase, the director of the original documentary, which is amazing, with us this afternoon. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about you?
Fantastic. I'm so excited for you. And I just have to kind of tell you the way this went down. I'm sitting around, I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm watching football and, you know, half paying attention to the commercials. And I see this Neil Diamond thing come out. I'm like, oh, there's a Neil Diamond biopic coming out. So I then, you know, Google and I watch the trailer, come to find out, no. This is the story of Lightning and Thunder from Milwaukee that Greg Coase made this great documentary of 14 years ago. And you, not that you haven't lived out your dream so far, this kind of puts you into a different category with that dream, doesn't it?
You know, it definitely puts Lightning and Thunder in a different category for sure. You know, this was always their dream, was to be recognized by millions of people. And fortunately, this remake now, the Hollywood version of the documentary is going to do that. So I am just so thrilled for them and the crew that spent all their time and sweat and working on the documentary. It's a very rewarding, fun time for sure.
So how did you originally come about this story? I remember when I'm in Milwaukee, I mean, I think it was unfair to call them a novelty act, but they were very well known, and Summerfest is a huge, huge, you know, music festival up there. I know that that becomes an important part of your film, but you're doing other stuff and you're doing pretty successful stuff with NFL films, et cetera. So how do you get into this project with the documentary originally?
Really, just in the Cliff Notes version, I was working at NFL Films, where I worked for 10 years as a young man making films. And one of those films I made was for Harley Davidson, a documentary for their 90th or 95th anniversary. And during that filming, we heard the sounds of Neil Diamond coming across the state fairgrounds in Milwaukee. And I thought, you know, holy cow, Neil Diamond, we have to film him as part of the film. And our crews converged on this stage. And standing on that stage, it was a bar. Actually, it was a bar that was turned into a stage
right.
by lightning. And it wasn't Neil Diamond. It was lightning. And we filmed him. And then a couple of years later, the crew contacted me and on the East Coast where I live and said, hey, you won't believe it. This group that you loved, Lightning and Thunder, and filmed, they've experienced some difficulties in their life that are you can't even fathom what happened to them. And I learned, and I wanted to help them. So I thought, you know what? I can make a documentary about them, and maybe that will help them, you know, get their word out of who they are and what they're doing and their skill and their love for Neil Diamond's music and entertaining people.
But you discover quickly, Greg, that helping them was not the right path to take in order to make a documentary, right?
Well, that's true. You know, I set out to help them, right? So on my first visit, I literally was helping them. I was lifting gear, you know, buying them dinner, driving them to a gig in Chicago. And I was a roadie slash groupie, and I really wasn't wearing the filmmaker hat. And that's I got home, reviewed the footage, told my wife all about it. And she said, you know, all these things you're telling me there sound amazing and really powerful and emotional, but I don't see them. You were too busy lifting amps and driving minivans. And I'm like, you're right. I should have been filming more. And so I recognized early on that, you know, my ability to capture emotion and make goosebumps with my filmmaking was how I was going to help them, hopefully.
I love what you talk about when you refer to goosebumps, because as someone who is a fan of entertainment, I've reviewed films for decades, and I love those goosebump moments. And Greg Cause, you've had so many of these. Now, one thing that happens, and the challenges are amazing with the documentary, I find this rather humorous. I think you might, looking back at it, but you get the film together, you're looking for an editor. You get an editor who's a very important person in putting a movie together, especially a documentary. And the first editor doesn't like Mike Sardina, who's Lightning, right? He doesn't think he's a likable character and doesn't want to edit the film.
Yeah, you know, he did. He worked on it for about, it was hard to find someone. And finally, I found someone to help out because I didn't have a lot of money. And it was a risk, you know, someone's going to have to really be into wanting to tell this story. And they set out to start cutting, and about 4 weeks in, they called me and said, I just can't keep working on this for two reasons. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, one, I'm really not excited about this guy, Mike. I don't think I like him. And I'm like, well, that's fair, you know, and a lot, you know, that's fine. And what's the other reason? He goes, well, you didn't get Neil Diamond's approval to use his music, and there's like 13, 14 songs in here.
Right,
and
right.
This is silly to keep editing without that. So that permission. So I said, thank you very much. And went on Craigslist and found another editor.
On Craigslist. You got him on Craigslist.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right. So let me fast forward a little bit, because there's so much to your story leading up to, you know, what's happening on Christmas Day with the feature film. And I've shared this with my audience here a couple of times in a couple of days here leading up to our interview. So some of them might be familiar with it. But there's this moment on stage in Milwaukee at Summerfest, this huge music festival. My wife and daughter got to go back up there this past summer because my wife is a Whitefish Bay native. Unfortunately, I haven't been there in a long time. But Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam invite Lightning and Thunder on stage, and they do a song together, and it's really, really super cool. But not to spoil too much of the story, but when you have to get the music rights for the documentary, Eddie Vedder becomes a very important part of that story, doesn't he?
He does. You know, when I was, we'd worked really hard as independent filmmakers to get permission to use the music, and we had all of our requests in, and they were just taking a really long time to get through the machine. You know, there are a lot of people putting in requests in, especially for Neil's music and others that the publisher handles. And so that we were assured that going into its world premiere at the Slam Dance Film Festival in Park City that year in 2008, that we were fine to screen it. And then lo and behold, about a day or two before the world premiere, I got a cease and desist from the publisher saying, you know, we have not had a chance to review your request yet, so you can't screen it, you know, legally. And so I was in a bind. So I reached out to a phone number in my phone, and I just labeled it EV for Eddie Vedder. And I gave it a call as a rock and roll Hail Mary, hoping that he might be able to get the film in front of Neil Diamond. And of course, I only had that number. I didn't know if it was Eddie or not. I had it through doing some research when I was looking for the footage of that performance you mentioned, and thought it could be, but didn't know for sure. And then I just gave it a shot.
Well, and then Eddie even admits he's going to give it a shot, but he can't guarantee anything. And lo and behold, you get another phone call, don't you?
That's true. You know, Eddie, I did get a hold of Eddie, and he said, man, Greg, I'll do my best, man, but there's no, not a lot of time you're giving me. I'll try.
Yeah.
And so I said, thanks. And so then I prepared the film with no Neil Diamond music, just silence, because you could still feel the passion of Lightning and Thunder. Because I didn't want to break any rules. I was going to do the right thing.
Right, right.
And so I had two masters, one with the music, one without. And we were at a little get-together at a dirtbag little sticky ski bum bar with the crew and family and Thunder. And the bartender came up to me and said, Greg Coase? I said, yes. And he goes, you have a call behind the bar on line two. And I was puzzled, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night in this snowy little town. And I answer the phone. And I say, hello. And this voice says, Greg Coase? And I said, yes. And he goes, this is Neil Diamond.
Oh, my. Like,
and I just started bawling.
Oh, my. Yeah,
and
right.
Said, I've just watched your film that Eddie made me aware of, and I love, love, love this love story, and I'm proud to have my music involved, and I'm proud of our film. And, yeah, so Eddie came through, and we all kind of cried and celebrated as we walked across the street for the world premiere that night. And then my phone rang again. And this time it said EV on the phone. And I said, hello. And the voice said, Greg. And it was Eddie. And I said, Eddie. He goes, man, I just found out Neil watched the film and he loved it. And I said, I know. And he goes, how do you know? And I said, because he just called me.
That's
he
amazing.
Goes, no effing way.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, yeah, way. So anyway, yeah, it was a fun memory.
I love that.
For sure.
It is unbelievable. I'm getting goosebumps just listening to you tell the story. Now, I don't want to spoil the ending of your documentary because I rewatched it earlier this week and I had forgotten about the way that it had ended, Greg. I really had.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, do they keep to that moment from your documentary in the feature film or not?
You know, the feature film tracks very nicely and with the documentary, and Craig's done a beautiful job writing the script, and I don't want to give anything
away.
Okay,
that's fair.
But people are checking the documentary out now because they can't believe that the things in the film actually happened.
And well, so, that's right. And that's what I think. And that's a great answer to that question. Now, the movie, you can watch it for free on YouTube. That's disappointing to me only because I feel like this should be a movie on Netflix or somewhere else. Is there a chance that maybe you get a distribution deal, a new one with the documentary in the aftermath of this film? Or is that not, I mean, people can watch the film. You want people to see the film, but is there a chance of that at all?
You know what? I'm not thinking about that. You know, the mission's accomplished. When Craig reached out to make a remake the film, and now the attention and the love and support that the studio and Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson and Craig Brewer and all the crew, everyone's giving. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled, and I put it on YouTube about 3 weeks ago, just for free, just because that was the intention of the whole project, was to help them. And so, you know, I don't know what
that's
word
great.
I can use.
No, I think
thrilled.
It's amazing. And I've seen with my friends in Milwaukee and my media contacts there, Hugh Jackman was there a couple of weeks ago, just doing all kinds of interviews, getting Milwaukee excited. Now, I haven't seen the film, but I'll say this. I have a pretty good eye. And when I see the trailer, I think that Claire, and she is performed here by Kate Hudson. Boy, Kate looks like she nails Claire Sardina.
She does. She's amazing. She just takes all of her skills and brings them to the party and creates a Thunder or interprets Thunder beautifully, as does Hugh. Hugh does as well. I know there's lots. I mean, everyone's thrilled that Kate's got a Golden Globe nom for her performance and all, but you know, Hugh is amazing, and he's a great Lightning, and just from my experiences, limited experiences, just an amazing human being. He's really, really a masterclass in kindness. So
Well, I can't wait for people to see the movie. Movies don't open on Christmas Day unless they're really, really good. That's my experience. And Greg, honestly, congratulations. Your story could be a film and a documentary in and of itself. It really can. And I'm just so thrilled that this is, you know, playing out the way that you had hoped for all those years ago. It's just awesome. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm thrilled that it's that people are going to experience Lightning and Thunder's story. You know, it's an ordinary story, and we all have stories, right, Mark?
Yep.
So
yep.
It's everyone's got a story, and so they just happen to have theirs documented and now retold, and that's it's a beautiful thing.
Greg,
so I'm super excited for everyone to experience it.
Have a great Christmas. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. You too.
Sing it, children. Sun, blue, every garden grows one. Me and you are subject to the blues now and then. When you dig the blues and make a song, you sing them out again. Come sing them out again. D minor added D song.
Traffic from the 97.1 FM Talk Traffic Center.
We've got a serious jam going on the Illinois side headed into Missouri up north. Westbound 270, a parking lot, 111 to an accident just past the Canal Bridge. Also an accident this time northbound 170, not that far from Scudder. And it looks like there they've got the two left lanes blocked, and we've got a jam behind it. Now, eastbound 40 still jammed headed for the Poplar. There's road work in the left lanes on the bridge through Barack Obama Avenue. And eastbound 40 slow on either side of 170. Now, both 70 and 6440 look much better out west. Northbound 55 a little slow, especially in the right lanes headed for the Poplar. This report is brought to you by the fabulous people at the Diamond Shop. The Diamond Shop, making St. Louis sparkle for over 100 years. Go to their website and see the store hours. They've been extended for the holidays. I'm Sue Thomas, and that's traffic on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis Conservative.
Hey, girl, it's your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. On behalf of the entire Fox Across America crew, we just want to thank the 97.1 FM Talk listeners for a fantastic 2025. You sure know how to make a girl feel special. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Have some great holidays.
Doesn't it feel like you hear all the time from retired friends and family, I wish someone had told me this before I retired? Or why didn't anybody tell me this? Why is this not a class? Well, that's exactly why Financial and Tax Architects was founded. FTA keeps hardworking families in St. Louis make sense of retirement. They show them how to keep more of what they've earned and how to make it last. That way you can get some sleep at night. You don't have to second guess every expense leading up to retirement. You understand what's going on. Their Retirement Planning 101 class is a practical, no-cost course. They teach it at local colleges. It's just one night. You learn strategies to reduce taxes, plan your income, make confident decisions about Social Security and taxes and inflation. And FTA focuses on education. They try to change the way you retire. Call 888-5101 or go to fta-ria.com to register.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free, and you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
There are the holidays in your head. Oh, here you go, my handsome husband.
Thank you, my gorgeous wife.
Then there's reality. Mark, how Aubrey's frozen from the waist down. I think the heat is out.
It's part of the experience, honey. Besides, nobody's going to come out on the holidays.
You serious, Mark?
Got a full-blown 5-alarm emergency? Air Comfort Service heating, cooling, and insulation pros are ready 24/7, even on holidays. If your heat goes out, Air Comfort Service is prepared to get you warmed up back in the holiday spirit. Visit aircomfortservice.com. That's aircomfortservice.com.
What if you had a plan to build income outside your job? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how people are investing in real estate to grow their income and make smarter financial choices one property at a time. Right now, join us for just $297. That's a savings of $443 off our real estate education program. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
If you want thick, healthy, gorgeous hair, then you need Hair Volume from New Nordic. Available as a tablet or a delicious gummy, Hair Volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis Conservative.
All right, you
Ethan did this to me.
Ready to sing your song?
He labeled it Mark's favorite Christmas song.
Okay, Simon?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not doing that. You know why?
It's the worst.
It is, but I got something really good for you. Ready?
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Who did we love for years and years and years and years when she performed a song on David Letterman's show? Who was that, Sue Thomas?
I can't think of it.
Darlene Love, remember?
Oh, I love Darlene Love.
And guess what? She went on Jimmy Fallon's show last night and knocked it out of the park. Have a great weekend. Here's your audio cut of the day. Great.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
She did that for a long time with Letterman. Last night, Paul Schaefer, part of the band, Little Steven from the E Street Band, and his Disciples of Soul, and they killed it last night on Fallon.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.